the Cricket County Christmas, then this is something totally new. Come make plans to be here. We're actually going to film a very quick promo this week with some of the cast members. That way we can put it out on Facebook and YouTube and the church website. And when you get it, when you see it, forward it out to your family and your friends. Heck, you can even forward it up to people you don't even like. Let's put some attention on it, all right? I want to start off with a few questions. You know how I like to do that. Here they are. Do you believe that when you come to church on Sunday that God has something in store for you? Do you believe that God has a word for you today?
Yes.
Did you come expecting for God to speak straight to your heart? I believe that if your heart's in the right place, if you've come prepared to worship, God's going to speak to you every single time we get together. Notice I didn't say in church. I said, every time we get together, if you come prepared to worship, you've taken the time to prepare to come and say, God, you are the God of all gods. You're everything. Amen. I'm here to worship you. I'm here to glorify you. I'm here to honor you. This day is all about you. We're here to celebrate you, God. Not us. Not me. Not you. But to honor God, He'll speak straight to your heart. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for this day. This is the day that you made. And amen, amen, amen. We're going to rejoice in it. We are here to honor you, to glorify you. It has nothing to do with us. All about you. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit's movement in this building. I pray for the movement of the Holy Spirit over each person here listening, as well as the ones watching, Lord. And I pray, as always, that you would have the Holy Spirit let them hear what they need to hear, what you, Lord, want them to hear. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The reason I start off today's message the way that I did, ask those questions, is because of how the last 2 months have transpired. Over the last 7 weeks, myself, two other men have spoken on similar topics. And we didn't get together. We didn't try to work off each other, find out each other's topics, and talk about it, and plan this really long 2 month kind of series. But I love when that sort of thing happens. When that does happen, I can't help but ask God, God, what are you saying to me? God, what are you saying to us? God, what are you saying to the church? You've heard me say it quite frequently. There are no such thing as coincidences, only God incidences. For 4 weeks, I spoke in the book of Joshua. And I spoke about the obstacles in Joshua's life and how they apply to us. I told you we've got obstacles. We will always have obstacles in this life. We will always run into roadblocks, dead ends. But the only way to get through them, get over them, get around them, is the dependency on God, which comes from an ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. I said this life isn't going to be easy. It's not. It's not always going to be convenient. It's not. It's not always going to be comfortable. It's not. But the only way to get through it is to trust in God and trust that He knows what He's doing. A couple weeks back, Jared Hall brought a message and he spoke about how your spiritual life as well as your spiritual growth, it's not always going to be comfortable. Is that what you said, Jared? He went as far as to say, you know what, if you're growing in the Lord, it won't be comfortable. You remember that? Last week, Ryan Pettit brought a message about how your spiritual life is not always going to be convenient. He actually said to stop looking for the conveniences in this life and start relying on God and God's plan for your life. I had every intention of jumping into a Christmas-related message today. But this past week, all I did was ponder on Jared's message, what I had talked about in Joshua for 4 weeks, and what Ryan brought last week. And as I prayed, I said, God, well, you know, if it's not going to be a Christmas-related message, then what's it going to be? I thought about these messages that myself and Jared and Ryan brought, and I prayed, and I read the Word. The Lord led me to some scriptures with a word, one word, that ties all of these messages together. That scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 11, and that word is faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to start there in verse 8. As you're turning there, I wish we had time to go through this entire chapter. I'm going to encourage you this week sometime, go through that entire chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. The entire chapter has to do with faith. And I want you to pay close attention to it, because when you go through this chapter, you read this chapter, it's going to go through and it's going to talk about different people throughout the Old Testament. And what they did because of faith, and what happened because of faith. And I want you to pay close attention to it, because the things that they did because of their faith were not convenient, and it wasn't comfortable. Hebrews is right before the book of James. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to start there in verse 8. I'm going to tell you what, too. As we go through this reading, you got a pen on you. Every time you see the word faith in our scripture reading today, underline that word. All right? It says this there in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed, and he went even though he did not know where he was going. Let me stop right there. One of the greatest examples of faith in the entire Bible is seen in the life of Abraham. In fact, Abraham is known as the father of the faithful. His name means father of many, but he's known as the father of faithful. The story of Abraham and his family covers most of the book of Genesis. Jared Hall is actually going through that and studying what used to be Abram into Abraham in the downstairs adult Sunday school class. There in verses 8 through 22, the writer of Hebrews cites the entire life of Abraham as an example of the life of faith. He's saying this is what it means as a Christian. This is what it means as a believer to have faith. It's very easy for us to go, I have faith, right? We say it quite frequently. I've got faith. I do have faith. We're going to read through some scripture today in this life of Abraham and really point out what it means to have faith. It takes on a whole new meaning. As we examine the faith of Abraham, I want to discover how faith, that faith, relates to us. That verse 8 that I just read, it tells me that faith gives direction to your life. Yes, God gives you direction. Holy Spirit moves, guides, directs. But let me tell you something. Faith, your faith, gives direction in your life. Abraham was born in what is now the country of Iraq. And that scripture there in verse 8, God called Abraham to leave his country, leave his home, leave his livelihood, leave his friends, leave the security that he knew, and follow him. He said, I need you to leave what you know is comfortable. I need you to leave what you know is convenient and go somewhere. Jay, do you think that would be comfortable? Mike, do you think that would be convenient? God didn't tell Abraham where he was going. Y'all realize that? That's faith. God didn't tell Abraham, hey, look, I need you to pick everything up. I need you to move away your job, everybody, your friends, your family. I need you to pick up. You're going to go over here to this particular area. God didn't even do that. He said, I need you to pick everything up and I need you to go. I'm going to lead you. I just need you to go. How comfortable do you think that would be? How convenient do you think that would be? God told me to leave a job that I was secure in, that I loved, felt really good about. But He told me what was going to happen. You say, well, yeah, Donnie, that's faith. Yeah, it was faith. But I knew what He wanted me to do. Abraham, He didn't even do that. I need you to get up, pull everything that you've got going on, all your security, your family, your loved ones, everything, and I just need you to go, and I'm going to lead you. I'm not even telling you where you're going to go. Let me tell you something. It takes faith to go when God tells you to go, and it takes faith to stay when God tells you to stay. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. He didn't know the plan. He didn't know the whole picture. All he knew was this was God's plan. He knew that God was leading. And Abraham said, I've got enough faith that I'm going to follow. And let me tell you something. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't comfortable. Abraham followed God to a land that was not his own. But because of that blind faith, hear this. Because of that blind faith, that entire nation where God was taking him to later became his entire inheritance. You want to talk about a blessing? As we trust in God, He will give direction to our lives. He's not going to give us all the answers. He won't. You've heard me say before, if you knew God's plan for your life, what would happen? You'd screw it up. And you would. I would. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when God's plan for your life doesn't make any sense. Don't be surprised when it's not convenient. And don't be surprised when it's not comfortable. Let's take a look at verses 9 and 10. It says this, what's that next word? By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, talking about his sons, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. What is he talking about? Talking about heaven. Let me stop right there. God promised Abraham that he would make him a great nation. He was going to be the father of a great nation, and he was going to be the father of a great number of people. His descendants would be like the sands in the ocean. In fact, that name Abraham, it means father of many, father of a multitude. And there are times in Abraham's life that his faith swayed. There were times in his life that he wasn't perfect. We learned about that in Jared's class. Jared talked about it in depth. There are times in Abraham's life that he ran ahead of God. There were times in Abraham's life that he said, this plan of God's is not kind of making sense, so I'm going to go ahead and get around it and help him out a little bit. And we didn't go over real well. But let me tell you something. He always, 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 always held on to God's promises. That scripture there in verses 9 and 10 tells us that faith clings to the promises that God makes. And let me tell you something. Every single one of you, God has made every single one of you, including myself, a promise. And He does. Faith helps us cling, hold on to those promises. When Abraham entered the land that was promised him, where God told him to go, where led him to go, he didn't have any property. He didn't have any children. But he kept holding on to the promises of God that one day, because of him, because of his faith, he would be a great nation. And we learn from Abraham that we must always cling to the promises of God. Faith will help keep you focused on God's promises versus your current circumstances. I'm going to say it again. The faith that you have in God will keep you focused on God's promises versus the situations in your life. And it's not always going to be convenient. And it's not always going to be comfortable. Let's read verses 11 and 12. And by, what's that word? There's that word again. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. You know what that tells me? Faith realizes the impossible. Abraham and his wife Sarah, they were beyond age of giving birth. Now, we learn, if I was to jump back in the Old Testament, I could tell you, Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah, his wife, was 90 years old when their first son was born. Now, let me ask all the women in here something. Oh, you're going to get it. If you're a mother here, no matter what age you are, was being pregnant and giving birth convenient or comfortable?
No.
How well do you think you would have handled it if you were 90 years old? I mean, serious. 90 years old. It was humanly impossible for them to have children. Yet 25 years, I go back to the Old Testament and show you this, we need be, if need be. 25 years after God promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child, 25 years after that promise, Sarah gave birth to her first son. At this point, the writer of Hebrews commends the faith of Sarah as well as Abraham. It says there in verse 11 that they were able to become parents because of their faith. God made Abraham and Sarah a promise. But get this. It didn't happen the day after God made it. God made them a promise and it didn't happen the very next day. God made them a promise and it didn't happen the very next week. God made them a promise and it didn't happen the next month. It didn't happen the next year. God made them a promise and it happened 25 years later. Do you think waiting all that time was convenient or comfortable? Not indeed. But because of their faith, because they said God made a promise and we're holding on to it, because of their faith, they had a child. We must always remember that our God is faithful and that we can trust His promises even when it's not in our timeline. And man, we don't like that, do we? If God gives me a promise, the next day I'm like, all right, what's that, God? Right? Wait a week. God, you what happened? You made a promise. It's been a week. A month later, well, God, I guess I got to go take care of this myself because that promise didn't happen. No. God makes a promise, you can take it to the bank. But it might not be in your timeline. You just got to hold out and know that His plans are always perfect. Always perfect. Let's keep going. I'm going to read verse 10 again, and then I'm going to jump to verses 13 through 16. Verse 10 says, "For he was looking forward to the city with the foundations whose architect and builder is God." Jump to 13. "All these people were still living by faith," talking about his family, Abraham's family, "when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance." Lost my spot. "Admitting that they were foreigners on a stranger's earth." People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country that they had left behind, then they would have the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. You know what that tells me? Faith embraces the future. Got a grim-looking future, don't we? Betty Jean even talked about prayer for our country, because, man, it does look grim. Let me tell you something. Faith embraces the future. Faith, by its very nature, is oriented around the future. Very first verse in chapter 11, we didn't read it, but if I did, it says this: "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Abraham never got to see God's final plan. You realize that? Abraham never received all the answers. Abraham never got to see how everything turned out. Scripture tells us that, you know what, he was fine with it because Abraham was more focused on the future. He wasn't focused on the here and now. He was focused on the future. He was focused on his eternity. Abraham embraced the promises of the future. The ones that God had promised him. Do you think for a second it was convenient or comfortable focusing on the future versus what's happening around you? It's hard, really hard. But let me tell you something. Faith, the stronger your relationship grows with God, the stronger that faith grows, the more you start focusing on your eternity versus what is happening here and now. We too must keep on looking beyond this life to a better country, to a heavenly home. That's faith. Jesus proclaimed in John 14, 1 through 6, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and I prepare a place for you, and if I go, then I will come again. And if I come again, I'm here to come," or excuse me, "myself where I am, there you may be also. And where I go to know and know, you know." Faith focuses on our heavenly future. You get that? We've got a lot of problems down here, don't we? We deal with a lot of issues, don't we? Got a lot of hurdles in this life. Got a lot of hurts in this life. The more your faith grows, the more that relationship with Christ grows, you start to focus more on the heavenly future than what's happening here on this life, in this earth, right here and right now. Faith keeps us focused on God instead of politics. Faith keeps us focused on our future instead of our problems. Faith keeps us focused on heaven instead of our trials. Faith keeps us focused on God and eternity rather than what's happening now. Do y'all remember that old song, "The world is not my home, I'm just passing through"? Oldie but a goodie. If you're a believer here today, you're just passing through. Stop. Think about that. If you're a believer here today, this is not your home. You're just passing through. Greater things are ahead of you. The best is yet to come. That's what keep you going. That's what should keep you going. That's what faith does. As Christians, we're just pilgrims on this earth, for the business of a king, our king. Yet some people live only for the present moments and forget about their eternity. We get so wrapped up in what's going on around us. We get so wrapped up even in politics or politicians. We get so wrapped up in what's going on around that we have lost the focus on what is to come. Our eternity. We have got so much to look forward to. So much to come. That is what faith is. Faith says, look, I know what this looks like. I know what this politician looks like. I know what politics looks like. I know what's going on. But thank God I've got an eternity with Him. Thank God that a brighter day is coming. Thank God that I don't have to dwell in what's going on here. Because I can focus on what God wants for me in the future. We get too comfortable. We look for the comfort. We look for the conveniences of this life. And our Lord and Savior, all He wants us to do is to grow and to mature. And it doesn't come from being comfortable. It doesn't come from the conveniences in this life. Are you looking for that wonderful city? Are you focused on your eternity? If so, then we need to get busy living. Let's finish up by reading 17 and 19. 17 through 19, I should say. Verse 17 says this, "By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned with that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the grave." You know what that tells me? Faith passes the supreme test. Think about this with me for a moment. Isaac, Abraham's son, he is the result of the promise that God made to Abraham, right? You're going to have a multitude. You're going to be a father of a many, 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 many. And it starts with Isaac. Think about that. Abraham is now starting to see God's plan unfold. He's not seeing in the big picture. He's just starting to see it. You know what? God did make me a promise. 25 years ago, God made me a promise. And it's going to start with Isaac. Can you imagine the feeling? Can you imagine the emotion of seeing God's plan unfolding in your life, and it starts with your one son? Wow. You would wake up every morning and you would look at your son differently every single morning. Can you imagine the passion, the emotion, knowing and seeing God's plan at work, this promise at work with your one son? Abraham was proud of his son, proud of God's promise. Then that day came when God told Abraham to take his son to Mount Moriah and there offer him as a sacrifice. Wow. Let me ask you this. How convenient and how comfortable would you have been with that? Abraham must have been thinking, God, you blessed me with a son. You blessed me. This is the fulfilling of your prophecy. You have promised me this one son, and from this son, thousands and thousands and thousands of people were going to come. How are you going to do this? What's going on? But by faith in God, Abraham was willing to give the nearest and the dearest thing that he loved, his son Isaac, to God. He was going to obey God. He was going to do it. Of course, we know the rest of the story. An angel of the Lord stopped that sacrifice. He put a ram over in a bush. Abraham got the ram, sacrificed the ram for God. Let me tell you something. God's got a plan. And it always, 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 always involves us following Him. So I ask you, what are you willing to give up in order to follow Christ? Career? A hobby? A position? A passion? We must always remember that God's plans are always perfect, even when they do not make any sense. When God's asking you to do something, to say something, to go somewhere, to see someone, and you're thinking, Lord, that does not make any sense at all, you better think again. From my experiences, most of the time, when God's asking me to do something, say something, see somebody, it don't make any sense. Most of God's plans in my life, they're not comfortable. They're not convenient. And Abraham had faith. He had faith that if this is what God was asking him to do, then he would surely raise his son from the dead. And what did God do? He provides a substitute. So figuratively since, God did raise Isaac from the dead. This was a test of Abraham's faith, and he passed the test. Let me tell you something. As a believer, there will be times in a believer's life where God will test your faith. I'm telling you, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you can count on it. God will test your faith. He will. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be convenient. But I'm here to tell you, if you follow through with it, you will be blessed. It's very easy to think, I will follow. It's very easy to think, you know what? I've got faith. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do whatever He wants me to do. I've got faith. It's very easy to answer that when you're sitting in a comfortable church with the convenience of being warm on a cold winter's morn. But it's totally different when God is asking you to follow Him when it's not comfortable and it's not convenient. God wants His children not just only to have faith. He wants us to show faith. He wants us to prove our faith. James chapter 2, 14 and 17 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? In the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, it's dead." Now, James is not telling us that works is a result of salvation. It's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that your works, that your actions, is a result of your faith. Faith is believing when you don't see it. Faith is obeying when you don't understand it. Faith is giving when you don't have it. Faith is persisting when you don't feel like it. Faith is thanking God before you receive it. And faith is trusting God even when you don't get it. True faith isn't comfortable. It's not convenient. But let me tell you something. True faith is obedience. And that's what matters. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much. Thank You so much that we have an opportunity to glorify You in every single thing that we do, even when it's not convenient and even when it's not comfortable. Because, Lord, what that requires is more of a dependency on You. And if we've got more dependency on You, then, well, guess what? We don't have to have a dependency on ourselves. And I'm thankful for that, Lord. Lord, I ask You. I know You're working on my heart. I'm working on everybody here, the people that are listening. Lord, we surrender all. I surrender all. And I love You much. In Jesus' name, amen. This the song that we're going to close with, please stand. If you do not know the words, you can turn around and look at the screen behind you. Once it starts,